Come, Lord, and be our guest. Incline your thoughts to us, that we might discern the way you would have us go, that we might discern the life you would have us live. Amen. Every day, we wake up in the morning and we have our morning routine. And somewhere in that routine, we find ourselves looking in the mirror. Perhaps with a sense of nostalgia for the day when the crow's feet had not quite yet appeared at the corner of our eyes, or the days before the appearance of the double chin. Why do you think I regrew my beard? Besides the fact that my daughter cried when I shaved it off. But perhaps we can see that scar from the time that we were wrestling with our sibling in bed and got thrown against the bedpost and had to go to the hospital while he went to the neighbors and he got all the good stuff. I just got a bunch of stitches. And of course there is the gray hair. The gray hair that we keep justifying by telling our kids that they were the ones who turned our hair gray. We look in the mirror, perhaps hoping to see a different face looking back at us, a face full of beauty and the promise of youth, of a lot of life yet left to live. But all we see is a tired face with the lines of the life that has been lived etched into it. We want something different. But we're stuck every morning with that same face looking back at us, that same tired life looking at us. Now the author of Colossians, probably not Paul, writes, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourself with the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and according to the image of its creator. How dearly we would love to be able to strip that old self away. Wouldn't you love to be able to strip away that old tired self you see in the mirror and put on that a new self? Wouldn't you love to be able to strip away all those silly things you thought and did and said? Wouldn't you love to put on that new self that doesn't sweat the small stuff? That new self that's the life of the party. That new self that's respected for what it knows and has done. That new self that gets things done on time and is totally organized. That new self. I mean, how many of us would love to actually get the basement, the garage, and the attic all cleaned out and all of our stuff to the kids so that we don't have to worry about it anymore? But the new self that the author of Colossians is talking about goes even deeper than that. I recall C.S. Lewis, The Chronicles of Narnia. One of the books is called The Voyage of a Dawn Treader. And in it, there is a boy whose name is Eustace, but early on he gets the name Useless Eustace. Try to say that one fast. And Useless Eustace is transformed into a dragon partway through the book because all he does is think about himself. And then afterwards he realizes how important the others are to him as friends. And he meets Aslan, who leads him to a fountain where he's told that he can strip off that dragon skin, that old stuff, and be new. And so he strips it off, and before he steps out of the fountain, it's grown back again. He tries it again, it's grown back again. He tries it again, it's grown back again. Finally, Aslan says, I have to do it. And Aslan strips off the old self. And it's deep, and it's painful, but oh, it feels good. Aslan strips Eustace down to the imprint skin of new life. The new self in Colossians is a stripping away of all that keeps us confined and bound, all that keeps separates us from God and from other people. All of that stuff that builds walls in our lives. Those walls that we built for protection or to create a sense of self for ourselves. Listen again to the things that we're told we need to get rid of. Fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, disobedience, anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive language, and lying. Now, some of those are pretty self-explanatory. We don't have a problem with getting rid of some of those, or maybe we don't even have a problem with some of those things. But there are some that are a little more difficult than that. Because we use them to protect ourselves or others. How many times have you heard about you need to have a passion? Now, there's a good chance that the author is thinking about sexual passion, but he doesn't say that. But what about the passion for jobs? What about the passion for beliefs? Those things that we care passionately about, cannot those sometimes get in the way of experiencing new life? What about putting away money so that you can be sure that you are financially secure and those you love? Can that now turn into a form of greed? Those times we tell a little lie. We call them white lies to make ourselves feel a little better so that we can save face in front of somebody or we can protect somebody else from what we're really thinking or saying or want to say. And what about those times when there's just no other word that will do? When you or someone else slams your thumb or your life with a hammer? Those are the double chins and the crow's feet of our lives. That's what we see when we look into that mirror. We see all of that stuff. But you see, that's part of the problem with this passage. We read this passage as a prescription. Live your life this way and you shall be saved. But this passage, perhaps more importantly, is descriptive. It describes the way things are rather than the way things should be. There's a message of grace in this passage. Listen again to the beginning. So you have been raised with Christ. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden in Christ, with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. We've died with Christ. And we will be raised with Christ. We've been given the new life already. And because of that, we can not only live with the imperfections, but also maybe we're given the courage or the energy to just strive a little harder to be better, to do something more, be more like what God wants us to be. Jesus Christ has already accepted us with our graying hair and comb-overs. God loves that face that's looking at you out of the depths of the mirror. That's your new life. That's the new life that began when Jesus said to His disciples, "This is My body broken for you. Eat it, all of you who are hungry and thirsty." You and I are hidden in the depths of the blood of the cup that Jesus poured out for our sins. You have the new life. You are the new life. The author of Colossians just says, hey, wear that outfit. Start a new fashion trend. Wear the new life, the new clothes of grace, of sincerity, of humility, of honesty and justice. But more importantly, wear the new clothes of the beloved. As the wise sage, Stuart Smalley, played by Al Franken on Saturday Night Live a number of years ago, used to say as he looked into the mirror for his daily affirmations, "I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me." Well, maybe we need to look in the mirror in the morning, and when we see that old tired face in life looking back at us, maybe we need to say, "I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, God likes me." You know, it just could be the beginning of a whole new wonderful life. Amen.